Our scripture lessons this morning from the Old Testament come from Psalm 138. And you are blessed to be able to read along as I read out loud for you. My friends, listen and hear the words of the Lord. I give thee thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing thy praise. I bow down toward the holy temple and give thanks to the name for thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness. For thou hast exalted above everything thy name and thy word. On this day I called, thou did answer me. My strength of soul thou did increase. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, for they have heard the words of thy mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou dost preserve my life. Thou dost stretch out thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promises and his purpose for me. Thy steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of thy hands. And then familiar words that we have already heard this morning from Matthew 16. They are verses 13 through 17. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Thanks be to God for all of these holy words. Let us pray. Lord, we have opened your scriptures, the holy book, and we have read the holy words inspired by you. And now I ask, Lord, that you just calm our souls, calm our minds, calm our hearts, open our hearts so that we can hear the words that you would want proclaimed. May they be a blessing to you for all the blessings that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's great to be here. I don't think it would be August if I didn't come to Glenshaw Valley. So I made it just by the squeak of one Sunday. Huh? I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Arlie, and for all of you for asking me. I pray that Leonard is having a Sabbath and that he is resting, and I'm sure that you will all welcome him back next week, but it seems like your speaker last week did a wonderful job for you. So, and then you had, I don't know who you had the week before that, but then you had the Reverend Dr. John White, so I'm really following in big footsteps. I am blessed to be here. So greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and the Crestfield Ministry team and staff. Thank you for all of your support. You have supported the mission and ministry of Crestfield in so many ways, and we are immensely grateful for that. You have supported us through prayers. You have sent us all kind of wonderful campers this past summer. We had Miles and Madeline Baldwin with us. We had the Perman family with us. And we had the Vogliani family with us this summer. And it was great to have everyone here. We had BJ with us in the springtime. And here's the announcement. We are going to have an older adult day trip retreat that BJ and June came to. It's October 29th. We will pick you up and get you up to Crestfield, and it will be a fun time of relishing in the fall. So please think about coming with us. It's just a one-day retreat. We have great meals and Bible study and hay rides and all kind of fun stuff. So think about expanding the number of campers that you send from here to Crestfield. Thank you, Jesus, for this congregation and this community. You know, there's a hot new craze going on around these days. Well, maybe it's not hot. It's actually cold, but it is certainly a crazy fad. Maybe like eating goldfish or stuffing people in a phone booth or a VW Beetle. Do you remember those crazy fads? Yeah? Uh-huh. This hot new crazy fad is on Facebook. That's how it's like becoming so popular. And it's called the ALS Challenge. Apparently, once challenged by a friend, you can either choose to have a bucket of ice water poured on you, or you can give $100 to the ALS Foundation. My Facebook account is full of acquaintances and friends and coworkers and people that I don't even know that have been challenged and pick that ice water bucket being poured over them over giving the $100. After you are drenched with the water, then you pick or call out three or so friends who then have to decide if they want to give the money or have the bucket of water poured over them. June, I was challenged yesterday, so I have 24 hours to accept the challenge. That may happen at the picnic today that we're going to. So,
And then you can challenge.
And wouldn't that be fun, huh? Bring a spare change of clothes. As of yesterday, $62.5 million was raised for the ALS organization. And for that, I say, thank you, Jesus. But then I, yes. But then I ask, why is a challenge or a gimmick needed to share our abundance with an organization searching for a cure for a deadly disease? That's a sermon for another day. There's another fad on Facebook. It is not quite as physically challenging like having a bucket of cold water poured on you, but it is a challenge just the same. And this is called the gratitude challenge. Once again, a friend or acquaintance calls you out or picks you to post three things on Facebook that you are thankful for every day. You only have to do it for 5 days, but I have to tell you, I have seen complaints and not a lot of consistency with people going for day 3, 4, and 5. Imagine, giving thanks is difficult? But then again, maybe giving thanks to God is difficult for us. Should it be? It was difficult for the disciples to acknowledge that Jesus was God. We just read that in Matthew. So maybe giving thanks is difficult too. When Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" the people of Jesus' time thought Jesus was a prophet of the Old Testament, like Elijah or Jeremiah. Some even thought Jesus was a prophet of contemporary times, like John the Baptist. But only Peter was able to say boldly and confidently that Jesus was the living God here with us. Acknowledging that God is God and thanking God seem to go hand in hand, at least in our scripture lessons for today. But they also should go together hand in hand in our lives. David, in our psalm today, was able to give thanks for God and God's protection. David was challenged, that's for sure. Not a Facebook challenge, but David was challenged by God. David was challenged by a giant, Goliath. David was challenged by another king, Saul. David was challenged by a love in his life, Jezebel. David was challenged by his sons, unnamed sons and named sons, as Amnon and Absalom. Yet, during these challenges, David acknowledged that God was just that, God. Right in the beginning of Psalm 138, in verse 1, David declares that God is God above all gods, be it pagan gods or earthly kings. God is supreme above all others. Throughout the other verses of this psalm, David sings of God's providence, God's ever presence in times of trouble, God's faithfulness and steadfast love that sustains David. David proclaims that although God is high, meaning God is big and all-powerful and vastly encompasses all of creation, God cares for the lowly, the small, us humans. That's right there in verse 6. By using these extremes, David illustrates and acknowledges the depth of God's faithfulness and steadfast love for all of humanity. In verses 7 and 8, David continues to declare how God is God above all because of God's all-knowing plans for each person, including for David. David declares that God is a living God in David's life, just as Peter did hesitantly in our New Testament lesson. When I hear that New Testament lesson, I think of Peter jumping out there, but then I think of all those disciples standing back, looking with that like deer in the headlights look, you know what I mean? Who are you, jumping out there or standing back? Psalm 137 certainly declares that God is God and God is supreme. But it doesn't end there with the psalmist proclaiming that God is supreme. Throughout this psalm, David expresses his thanksgiving, his praises, his gratitude for all that God has done through him throughout all of the challenges that David had experienced. And David just doesn't say, "Hey, thanks, God," and move on. Oh, no. David sings a psalm of gratitude that comes from his heart. David's words of thanks are matched by actions of thanksgiving. David bows before God. David worships God in the temple. David prays to God unceasingly. David expresses his thanksgiving to God for all of God's presence in his life and all of God's actions of love and faithfulness, grace and promise keeping and saving. David realizes God is God, and because of that, God is worthy of and deserves thanksgiving and gratitude. David realizes that every expression of gratitude, by word and by action, every expression of trust and praise and joys delights our God. For you see, gratitude expands our hearts, creates space for God and for others. Gratitude is an essential part of our lives as Christians. Christians living in community with each other and with our triune God. Psalm 138 acknowledges the saving power of God. God saved the Israelites from the oppression of the Egyptians and led them to the promised land. God saved his chosen people from the exile and eventually brought them back to the promised land. This psalm even points to the saving power of Christ crucified so that we all receive grace. We are redeemed at the price of a costly grace, the death of on the cross by God's one and only Son, Jesus. And because of that, our only response can be gratitude. Karl Barth says, as thunder follows lightning, gratitude needs to follow grace. So next time you hear one of those summer storms, remember, as thunder follows lightning, gratitude needs to follow grace. Gratitude must be a part of our lives. We must give thanks too, not just for the gift, but also for the giver. Just as we are thankful for the grace that we receive and the breath of life that we breathe in every morning when we arise, we must give thanks for our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gives us the gifts. Thank you, Jesus. And just as gratitude can promote praise of God and deepen our relationship with God, so gratitude for each other can sustain us as a community of Christian believers. Gratitude can even work to be a tool of discipleship through evangelism. Who doesn't want to be around joyful, thankful people? At the same time, who wants to be around a bunch of ingrates, moaning and groaning and complaining? Giving thanks to God and to others helps us realize that we cannot do this thing called life by ourselves. We are not rocks, and we are not islands, and we need each other to be together. We need God. We need each other. Gratitude is a part of the glue that makes us stick together through thick and thin. Gratitude not just for the abundance that we receive, but gratitude for just being, for having life. Gratitude is essential. And gratitude is essential not just in good times, but even more so in challenging times. Our psalm today helps us understand that. The author gives thanks for God's presence amidst the presence of enemies. The author gives thanks for God's encouragement and strength during times of weakness and frailty. Even during times of trouble, the author gives thanks to God for God's presence and steadfast love and faithfulness. Christine Pullman writes, "To live gratefully with gratitude is not the same as denying the misery or evil that surrounds us. Gratitude involves knowing that we are held secure. We are held tightly by a loving God and a God that we worship that is trustworthy despite the nearly unbearable sorrow we might encounter along the way. A capacity to be thankful in the midst of hard times requires acknowledging that we don't know the whole story, that we are living before the story is complete, and that we are thankful for the presence of God and faithful persons in our lives. Gratitude is a crucial way in which destruction and death do not have to have the final word and cannot finally define us. Again, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These are words I hear proclaimed from friends and associates that are living, simultaneously dying, but also living from the challenge of cancer. Thank you, Jesus, they say. One friend writes, although the trial of getting cancer is not something I necessarily would have chosen for myself, I discovered a great deal of joy that has come my way during this time. In essence, thank you, Jesus. Steve Hayner, president of Columbia Theological Seminary, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer the day after Easter. It has certainly not been an easy time for Steve and his wife, with experimental treatments of chemotherapy over 4.5 months and no change in the tumors. As Hayner walked around his neighborhood one day, he was grumbling about how short of breath he was. Yet, when he saw a particular bumper sticker, he realized he needed to turn his ingratitude to gratitude. What did the bumper sticker say, you ask? More wagging and less barking. More wagging and less barking. Hayner continues that almost immediately his perspective changed. Grumbling was changing nothing but a fresh infusion of joy, and I say a fresh infusion of thanksgiving and gratitude could color the world much better. Thank you, Jesus, for being God of faithful and steadfast love, of being a living God, a God of being with us that Peter proclaims. Thank you, Jesus. My friends, let our lives be full of gratitude. Let us not do this because we are called out or challenged to do so, but let us express our gratitude to God and to each other because we love so much, because we love God so much, because we love our friends and neighbors that we don't even know so much. Let the words, "Thank you, Jesus," flow from our tongues and our mouths because our hearts overflow with love for each other and, most importantly, love for God. God, the one and only supreme being in our lives. There is nothing else more to say but thank you, Jesus. To God and God alone be the glory. Alleluia and amen.